Well, hi, grandkids. I think it's the first time I've used that line. This is Stunt Granny Audio. Coming back this time with a variation. It's me and Eric this time. Hello, Eric, mystery last name.
It's the asshole edition. Hey, Jeremy, is this the first audio that you and I have done since WrestleMania weekend?
Yes, yeah. So I don't have to look into your luscious brown eyes while we're talking.
Yeah, I know. They're hazel. Anyway, you're looking into my luscious brown eye. But anyway, it's been too long.
Well, that too.
When did you go to Extreme Rules?
Where the hell's Extreme Rules?
Fuck, I don't know. It doesn't matter. It's just been far too long.
Yeah, that's 3 weeks, I think it's been.
Yep.
I know. I do feel the pull on the heartstrings. So
it hasn't even been the whole month of April yet, and it's already time.
Yeah, although this is just one of these things. It's already the 20th of April.
Yeah.
Hey, boy, vacation is a hell of a lot more fun than doing regular stuff. Because
month
is almost done, and I barely remember it.
Yeah, that's bizarre. Mm. Does it move faster the older you get? Because I've never felt a calendar year go by faster than this in my life.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's it, because you're about to die. So every moment is precious. There's no other way around that, I guess. So, but all right, well, we can watch this tape.
Oh no, I'm not done talking about death. Did you see my Facebook post about that show, Extreme Couponing?
No, someone at work told me about that, and I was just disgusted.
Yeah, I want to know your opinion on this show, whether or not you've seen it. The idea is that people will live their whole lives to clip coupons to save enormous amounts of money. I want to know Jeremy Mays' opinion on that, because I feel like it could be a strong one.
Okay, well, not having seen the show, all I go by is what I was told, and my other friend Eric was telling me, I don't even see you on it. Who the hell is it? Anyway, he was telling me about it, and some guy, they would go, and sometimes the stores would end up, not giving them money, but they would be getting stuff for, they were getting things for stuff, that they would be getting things for free. So essentially, okay, they would be getting money back. And I'm like, it just doesn't seem right. I don't know. Not having seen the people, I'm guessing what they look like. And I really, really hope I'm right in most cases.
I'll tell you what, I watched my first episode of it last night, and my Facebook comment, which the only relation to death I could make, since you said something about dead, dying, whatever, was this is a two-part thought. One, the guy that I saw last night looked pretty much like the guy that was on the MARTA train when we were in Atlanta, so I took a picture of him with the Nexus armband. This fucking guy, my lesson learned was, even if I only saved $1 a week on groceries every week for the next 50 or 60 years, I could pay for my funeral plan. I could, or less morbidly, I could go on a trip. I could go to WrestleMania twice on the money that I would save. This guy saved, the thing is, he bought $2,000 in groceries or something. Or no, it might have been $4,500 in groceries and only paid $500 for him or something. But he's got enough cereal to last him the next 20 years. He's got enough hand soap to last him the rest of his fucking life.
Yeah, I saw you found your link. And, well, this guy's using it to give stuff to the troops, I guess.
He's given stuff to a food bank. So, they showed his garage, and I don't know how much of the stuff in his garage he intends to keep, but, it's fucking, you gotta just have his acquaintances come over. I would never do this shit to my friends, but my actual friends, hey, guys, come over and buy some dish soap off me, but, get a hold of your acquaintances or your work people and be like, hey, you need some wholesale toothbrushes? Because I just fucking picked up 3 armloads of
toothbrushes. I guess, if you're doing it for a decent cause, something like that, if you're giving it out to the family of different, armed services people, or if you're, going crazy and giving it out to, I hate saying less fortunate, because that's bullshit. What's the actual poor people? That's it. If you're giving it out to poor people, it's that old George Carlin bit, where they used to call it shell shock, then they called it something else, then they called it something else. And then at the end of the bit, he goes, you know what? Now it's post-distress syndrome or something like that.
Yeah.
He goes, you know what? I bet if we were calling it shell shock, people would actually care about it. I mean, I can't remember the exact fit, but basically, by softening the words, people would go out to help these people. People would reach out and do this stuff, not calling it, you know, like being retarded. Now it's, can't remember what the hell the word is now.
You know, it's not even mentally handicapped anymore. It's like, you know, thoughtfully challenged. They're fluffing up the language and they're pussifying it. So, yeah, like you said, people aren't helping or won't help.
No. No, I don't know. I guess I always feel like I'm, like not evolved when people start doing this stuff. Like mental, like even mental retardation. That sounds kind of harsh too. And
right.
to me that's a good thing. It, I mean, diseases should sound as harsh as they are.
They
I mean,
should,
like, what's AIDS? Like autoimmune deficiency syndrome or something?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that sounds a lot better than AIDS.
Right.
I mean, AIDS is a joke now, but if you actually spell it out, then you're like, oh, shit, all right?
I know.
No,
that's a bad one, because I think hyperactivity, well, fucking ADD and ADHD are supposed to be different things, but no.
You mean undisciplined children? Oh, okay.
Yeah, fucking brats, yeah, fucking an asshole kid. No, I think I might have even posted this somewhere. Venereal disease turned into sexually transmitted disease, which is now a sexually transmitted infection. No, if I fucking cut my finger and don't wash my hand, I get an infection. If I fuck a hole, I get a venereal disease.
Jesus. Ugh. Yeah, I mean, they even pretty high, like, actual, like, gonorrhea is the clap, because it's cute. but these assholes, I'm looking at this chick. She's buying like 15. What's she buying?
Yeah.
Like she forgot something, so she's running. Like she's got a shelf full of Tampax. Ugh. Just
yeah. Are you?
It's
are you
okay
gonna
to
believe
see
that much
store.
In your life?
Oh, God. Let's hope so. And it's from a gunshot wound to the head. Oh,
right.
Man.
Yeah. You got
no.
A fucking Tampax triage in your fucking
yeah.
Basement.
I mean, and you know, I don't support the companies, you know, but they certainly weren't thinking that these dumb bitches were going to buy 4 boxes of cat food. No, well, cat food, of course, but no,
yeah.
They're black chicks, so they're not going to be buying cat food.
No.
What is that? No, I was talking about different stereotypes, like that I put some on Facebook today about, of course, fat white women. Who are grooming their dogs to extreme lengths.
Oh,
like,
I saw that
one
had Elvis hair.
What, yeah, that's nothing. This one bitch turned her dog, like her poodle, which I don't really like poodles anyways, but
yeah,
she shaved the poodle and used hair dye on it.
God.
So that one side is a flag and the other side of the dog is a bald eagle. and I was like, of course, they're fat white women. And he was like, I don't understand what that has to do with it. I was like, they're stereotypes, dude. You didn't see one single, like, young white chick in this whole thing.
That's
right. But one skinny white chick in this whole thing. Because those are the people who are against that. It's the slobs who get out there, can't do anything else with themselves, so they got to pick on somebody else that can't defend themselves.
Her husband's van probably looks like that, too.
Wait, did you say husband?
Side. Oh, well, whatever he is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the butcher, whatever. But no. Trust me. There ain't no male coming around these bitches. So. But no, it's just that shit makes me sick. I've never wanted to see a dog attack worse in my life. Just as soon as those clippers start up, just straight bite
yeah.
Their fucking face off.
The dog's like, I've watched too much TV by now. I know what's going on.
Yeah, but the dog's probably thinking, you know, I'm going to get put down if I actually bite this bitch in the face, though. So,
yeah,
I've got
to
come up with something else.
Out of self-preservation, I'll let her paint an American flag on me.
Yeah. Well, but then they were interviewing the chick, and she goes, yeah, well, the guy interviewed that George Stephanopoulos, which wasn't he, didn't he write speeches for Clinton, or was he an advisor for Clinton?
He was one of those two. He might have been a speechwriter, or he
yeah.
might have been like the press
yeah.
guy that doesn't write the speeches but faces the press forum.
Yeah. Okay, so regardless of title, this is a guy that rubbed shoulders with the President of the United States. And in turn now, he's interviewing fat bitches about dying their dogs. I was like, you've gotta be unhappy about that turn of events. Whether he chose that or not, I'm sure when he took the Good Morning America job, he wasn't expecting to, get this crap.
The only thing I can think is that he's scouting for Bill Clinton still. Because that's the type of fucking white trash bitch that Bill Clinton was probably fucking on the sly about 25 years ago. That's a pretty dog, sweetheart. That's a beautiful dog. Can I come over and see it?
Jennifer Flowers was one. No, that was Gary Hart,
Flowers.
Wasn't it?
No, that was Jennifer Flowers, Paula Jones, Monica Lewinsky.
Paula Jones, yeah, okay.
Yep.
Then good old Monica, she thinned down, looked kind of cute for a little bit. Her fame faded, and then she put the pounds right back on. But at least she did perpetuate the stereotype of chubby chicks. So
right.
I was pretty happy about that.
Yep.
I know this is old hat, but could you imagine being the guy she dated next?
Yeah, right.
Because I'm sorry, but if I'm reading all this, it would be just like dating a porn chick.
Yeah.
Your first time, you let everything kind of slide. The second time, you're pulling out bulldozers, chainsaw. I mean, you're pulling out whatever you want and go, you were just fucking 16 dicks at once. Let's try some new shit out, lady. Jesus, what do you think I'm talking to you in the first place?
Yeah, you're a star. Your fucking vagina is more famous than you are. Well, in her case, your mouth is more famous than you are.
It's like, look, honey, I've seen you have three penises in your ass. I can't compete with that, so we're gonna pull this can of Coke here and see what happens with it. So
yeah, Monica, you've got the most famous mouth in the country right now. Put it to use.
Why are we talking about stuff from 1991? Oh my God!
I don't know. Our fucking jokes are real, real up to date, aren't they, folks? Hey,
yeah, this is like a Robin Williams HBO special. So
It's like a Roddy Piper promo. Hey, speaking of white trash stereotypes and shit that'll kill you, how about that first segment of Monday Night Raw this week?
Oh, I thought you were going with Tough Enough. Either one works in this case. So,
yeah.
Okay, yeah, so let's talk to Michael Reston for a second, even though it's going to degrade soon. What the fuck was that Monday? I mean, if you're the English crowd, you've got to be like, what? You lead off a show with, you lead off a show with John Morrison. You want to throw some new people out there, but you lead it off with R-Truth.
Right. Yeah. The fucking jobberiest of the jobbers right now. With his one push. Now, you and I just had our lunch conversation about this. And by the way, for those of you who, if you're listening to this and somehow have not actually seen our lunch conversations, when you got shit backwards, and you're finding this audio somewhere where it doesn't belong, because you have to have seen our lunch conversation by this point if you're a listener of this audio. But if you're not reading them, read them because they're kind of fun. And yes, like Jeremy so eloquently explained in the first one that we posted, yes, we do talk to each other all day via instant messenger, like we always say in these audios. And Jeremy and I had a discussion about John Morrison and R-Truth. They had a main event angle, or they were both in the main event match a couple of weeks ago on Raw, and we discussed, was this a rib on John Morrison? And now R-Truth gets, allegedly the rumor is that because R-Truth got gassed and blown up in the match, the gauntlet match last week on Raw, that now the rib on him is that they're taking him out of the title match that he won the right to be in. And so, I don't know, I guess by that rationale, you start the show with them because, you ended it with them the week before and let's start with them this week. But yeah, you're exactly right. When you're the English crowd, you're there live and you've already had to sit through Zack Ryder versus Yoshitatsu and fucking Goldust versus fucking Twitter and for Teletape for Superstars. And now the first thing you see is R-Truth come to the ring. There's got to be some disappointment.
Yeah. And especially when he didn't know how to handle, hang on. goddamn phone. Yeah. Yeah, heaven forbid you hold it still so the buttons don't press themselves. Fucking Android cocksucker. But, no, it kind of lost my train of thought, but I'm just going to go with what I'm thinking now. Then you look, and R-Truth comes out, and the crowd is just kind of stunned, and they never recover. He just kind of wilted when they weren't reenacting or not reacting to anything that he was doing. No matter what he was saying, the crowd was just like, yeah, okay.
Yeah, like when he got to the point in his promo, the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but long pause, no reaction. He's like, well, shit, I better say it myself.
Yeah. Is it, yeah, he, which is weird because in the States, the people do react to that. So it was kind of unfair. It's almost unfair to rag on it because in the States, it does get a reaction. But in England,
yeah,
apparently with their elitist taste, you know, like Mr. Bean, that they don't react to that stuff because they know it's shit.
But also, you've seen the way the court system works over there and shit like Parliament. People still wear powdered wigs and all that goofy shit over there, so they might not have
true.
The truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. They don't have the same lexicon we do.
But regardless of lexicon, wouldn't it make more sense, you know, not make more sense, but they'd still watch the product so they'd know what to say. I mean...
Yeah, but
you know
at the
mean?
Same time, they also don't give a shit because they just got, their yeah. fucking world got rocked by R-Truth coming out first.
Yeah. Yeah. No. I'm actually looking up pictures of Parliament now, so.
So his promo was what it was, you know, it's kind of loosely written, bullet-pointed, let a veteran go out and kind of say his shit promo for a guy who is getting his first pay-per-view title shot. And really the confusing thing for me is, okay, John Morrison comes out and glad hands and fucking shakes and smiles and all that stuff. And then he pulls the bad guy shit and says, oh, you know, R-Truth is like, you just go challenge me for my title shot. Yep, I accept. It's like, whoa, what kind of sneaky heel bullshit is that? So not only did you sucker the crowd by bringing R-Truth out first and stun them into silence, then you bring out the guy who got screwed the week before. And, you know, the up-and-coming star who should have, by all rights, probably gotten the title shot. And now you have him pull some heel shit. How do you expect him to react? But confusion.
Mm-hmm.
And then they follow up with a 7-minute match that's pretty cleanly won by John Morrison, who stands over R-Truth like, you know, the fucking God's gift to the mid-card.
Yeah. Here's my thing.
The whole thing was set up and written to fail. I mean, and like I said before, and here I'm going to reference somebody that, you know, whatever, he is what he is in the failed ex-WWE writer world, but John Pierre Marini, or however you pronounce his name, the guy that had the exclusive interview with the Pro Wrestling Torch, followed about 24 hours later by exclusive interviews with anybody with a fucking microphone, he's got his own blog. I believe it's creativerecall.wordpress.com. Look it up. You can also follow him on Twitter at John as himself, as if the world needed him to be anybody else. Fucking John the Martyr gets on this blog and starts spilling all these secrets about Vince McMahon and how he does everything on a whim. Everything that happens on TV is basically done on Vince McMahon's whim. So, backtracking a little bit, John Morrison, up-and-coming star, gets his push derailed because he snubbed Trish Stratus and doesn't like Smith. The following week, R-Truth gets winded in a match, and Vince McMahon, on a whim, decides to give John Morrison his pushback. And then all this shit happens this week in the first 25 minutes of the show. Once again, this thing is doomed to fail from the beginning.
Okay. Now, I guess my thing here is, I know he's had direct, you know, working relationship with McMahon and that, so... I'll believe that part where it's a whim, you know.
Yeah.
But it almost seems that they told Morrison to go out there and lose next week. Or lose last week, excuse me. And then this week, all right, we're, you know, one of those things where Vince was just testing him to see how he acted or reacted to it.
Oh, sure.
And then when he took losing well, he was like, all right, here you go. Or that it was like, no, you're getting put down because you're acting like a dick, supposedly. But then after that, when everything, you know, they take away from truth and they see in that match that heaven forbid he blows up and needs some water, that he's like, well, shit, what are we supposed to do?
Yeah.
give it back to Morrison and we'll do something about it, you know. I mean, unless this triple threat just turns out to be, they just utterly embarrass Morrison in it.
Put him in the spotlight and then totally fuck him over. That could be.
Right. And that was the first thing that crossed my mind was, they're not done with this guy yet. Or, that Trish Stratus stuff is bullshit. McMahon's like, yeah, fuck her. All right, go on. And this was the story all along. Because they're getting rid of R-Truth anyway, so what do they care?
Well, here's something to consider, too. And we'll talk about Tough Enough here in a minute. Every time I watch Tough Enough, I watch the credits at the end to make sure I didn't see it wrong. But for a show that has, you know, WWE isn't producing it. Somebody else is producing it. They had to license the Tough Enough name. They had to license WWE's name to put on this show. They hired Steve Austin. They hired Bill DeMott, Trish Stratus, and Booker T. If you watch the credits at the end, normally shit that has WWE's name attached to it, Vince McMahon is always listed as executive producer. He's actually not on this show. Kevin Dunn is, but Vince McMahon isn't. So it's possible. And Trish has a movie coming out that I'm pretty sure is not a WWE Films movie.
Oh, it is. It looks beautiful. I'm so happy you said that. I got to add it to my Netflix queue.
Well, nonetheless, I don't think Vince probably honestly really cares about Trish at this point, so maybe you're onto something there. If he's like, fuck it, she doesn't work for me, I'm not making any money off her ass.
Right.
Go ahead, Morrison, do your thing. I'll put you back where you belong.
Yeah, but at the same time, Vince being the businessman will go, all right, we'll put Trish on WrestleMania because we want to promote the show. I mean, he had Booker T on the show. Bill DeMott was never, to me, a WWE guy anyways, so it was just like, eh, whatever, take him or leave him. So in this case, it just, that's the only reason it was on. And I guess if you want to do the star power thing, you know, with Trish being in WrestleMania with Snooki, you know, got someone to protect Snooki in there. So just trying to make a case for why she's on to back up, you know, why else would he, you know, McMahon would use her. But no, I mean, the women wrestlers and women in general held in such low regard, which is why Karma or Awesome Kong, the promos are kind of weird that they're giving her that much time with it. But no, I don't know. I just can't see if John Morrison, in Vince's sick, not sick way, but in Vince's way, I wonder if he would almost not approve of that, but just if that happens, you know, because I don't, it's wrestlers, it's entertainment now, if you want to be funny about it. That Vince, in that world, it's so hard to take each side, you have to get everybody involved, and Morrison hasn't talked about it. Melina, I don't think she even really said anything. It was Trish that mentioned it, or some outside source, whatever. But I just wonder if Vince is kind of like, well, you know, he stuck up for his girl, so good for him. In some weird way, for whatever, especially if he works on a whim all the time, maybe that was his whim. That, yeah, you know what, he stuck up for his girl, good for him.
Yep, that could very well be. I guess the important point of this whole conversation is don't screw up. Any little slip up could cost you in that company.
Oh, yeah. And you have nowhere to go. We're not going to talk about him again this week, but TNA is an option for some of these guys. For a guy like Morrison, it is, because they will pay him good money to go there. But for R-Truth, you've got nowhere to go.
He could go back to TNA. He's been a TNA guy. He could. But, you know, he's going to fall in line with the Orlando Jordans and D'Angelo De Niro's of the world.
Yeah, I mean, you're still collecting a paycheck, I suppose, but it won't be a high paycheck like a Morrison would get. I mean, I honestly think Morrison would get a good amount from them. because yeah. he, you know, ooh, he was just fresh on TV. He was just on WrestleMania, you know.
Right.
Not, and I'm not saying Morrison's cut getting cut because he's not going to be. Here's getting back to the actual angle. What the fuck was with the smoking? I mean, they mentioned it for no reason in the promo, and then he all of a sudden just goes, "Who got smoked?" And then walks like he's on the Chappelle Show when they gave a reparations check.
Right. Yeah. Well,
he's walking around smiling. He's got him, and it's like, what the hell's going on?
Once again, I think it's just a rib on Vince McMahon's part, or maybe some smart-ass writer that must have Vince's ear, because that wouldn't be on TV if Vince McMahon didn't want it to be. And he's so anti-smoking that maybe, like, you know, he's thinking that this is going to put R-Truth over as a heel, or this is going to be the last of R-Truth. Let's get this dead weight off our payroll. It's got to
bury him
on
the way out.
It's got to be one or the other. Yep, bury him on the way out, or use this to solidify the fact that he's a heel, because in Vince McMahon's world and in a PG world, smokers are bad people.
Yeah, true. One thing that did crack me up was, since it was just crickets riding on tumbleweeds in there,
you could hear
one of the people in the crowd, I don't know if it was a plant, someone yelling, "What about the children?"
I'm gonna take
this from they're serious and they were real people sort of way, and I can't make this any clearer how I feel about this, but fuck the children. Fuck them. They're the reason things are the way they are, because, and this is a soapbox thing, but they're coddled, they're protected. I know it's the standard, they wear helmets on their bikes, but fuck them. That's not, who cares? Let them experience
before they're born. They're, even before they're born, they're the reason that at least one good parking spot is always taken at the shopping center, because now they're starting to give good parking spots to pregnant moms, too.
No, pregnant or expecting mothers. Now, wait a minute. If you're sexually active, trying for a kid, aren't you expecting a kid sooner or later? So shouldn't you always be able to park in that spot? That makes never made any sense to me.
That's a handicap spot. Next time I see the word expecting, I'm going to tell Carly to park there.
I wouldn't do that. You do that to somebody else. You don't take that risk, dude.
Oh yeah.
I mean,
what?
I don't believe in karma, but I do. Yeah, it's like there's no such thing as karma, but there sure is there is such a thing as, oh shit, really?
Yep.
So, yeah.
Well, you can pull out of a parking spot too.
Well, never mind. This was just gonna go down the way of abortion jokes. So I'm just going to cut off what I was going to say.
No,
but,
speaking of abortions, have you seen Dolph Ziggler's new look?
Now, this is something Kevin and I talked about for a little bit, because I hate it. I don't like it.
Yeah.
And off the top of my head when we were talking, we did a lunch convo on it. And I'm looking at my WrestleMania cup just sitting here. You've got Randy Orton, which, if he didn't have the tattoos, would be right in the same boat. Alberto Del Rio, even though I know he's Mexican. You got John Cena. You got The Miz. Who is he? Evan Bourne, Ted DiBiase, Cody Rhodes. Wade Barrett looks totally different.
Masters? I mean, his pecs are actually...
Well, Masters does enough. He's got the beard at least, and he's got a physique on him. It just goes to the whole thing of it's just another generic guy.
Yep.
And Masters, someone at least realized it was Masters and said, "Grow a beard, stupid. You look ridiculous and no one's going to remember who you are." So it gives him like a Billy Jack Haynes, but without the Jerry curl.
Right.
But he blends right into the pack. And then, and I know I'm always the one that talks about hairstyles and whatnot for whatever reason. His look, when he came through, you looked at him because he had the goofy platinum blonde hair. And
yeah, I would call it, I don't think I ever said this anywhere, but I would always call it the ramen hairdo.
Yeah, that works. Yeah, that works perfectly.
Yeah.
But it was an eye catcher at least. You knew who it was as soon as he came out. Now I'm not saying Ziggler's over as much as he could be, or as much as you know we may make him out to be while we're talking about this, because I think he's got a long way to go to be totally over to where they really want him to be.
Oh, absolutely. Well, and then I mean part of it is his look, and they you know. I don't know how close to the Mr. Perfect thing they were trying to get with him or that he was trying to get for himself. And it's a great goal to have, especially if you're going to be an upper mid-carder. But, you know, that was part of the look, and now he doesn't have that. Now he's generic. But,
right.
And that's huge. That's huge for WWE. You need to have a look. And now that he looks like 10 other guys on the roster, if you line them up, if you put all those people other than John Cena, if you put half the people that we just named on a 7-Eleven cup for, you know, a local event or something like that, it'd be like, what fucking glitch in the graphic design is this? They just have the same guy 8 times. But more than that, you know, they're talking about his new attitude. You know, how many times did Michael Cole talk about his new attitude? Well, and his new attitude is allegedly based off of his ground attack and his wrestling skills and all this stuff. And they've talked about his background as an amateur wrestler before. And they've mentioned Kent State. When are you going to ever find the name Dolph Ziggler in the fucking record books at Kent State?
Yep.
I'm never going to find
that.
That was
another thing
like
we didn't bring up, but yeah.
His look can be whatever his look is, and I would prefer it be something different like his ramen hairdo. But that stupid fucking name that he's had for all these years that we've harped on before that is just supposed to be a ripoff of Dirk Diggler from Boogie Nights. It's not even fucking relevant anymore, not only because it's so old, but because it's supposed to be a PG-rated show. None of these kids are going to know. They're going to never have seen Boogie Nights unless they flip by it on pay TV or something like that.
Yeah.
It's stupid. It's a stupid name, and if you're going to tout somebody's, you know, even like even Jack Swagger, you know, it's stupid. I've always thought that was a stupid name. I've just gotten used to it, and I haven't bitched about it for a while. But it's a stupid name for that character that still have, you know, disjointed, disconnected issues with it, the whole package. The smiling dipshit 1 minute and the fucking angry scripted gorilla the next minute and the push-ups and the All-American, but he's got Rage Against the Machine theme music. Well, now same with Dolph Ziggler. He's a guy with a rip-off porno name in a PG era with a bland haircut and a bland look and a bland attitude who's never going to fucking make it unless they, I mean, what effort, maybe it's just because I work on a marketing team now and I see the whole 360-degree view of this shit, but you'd think that a marketing juggernaut like WWE would sit down and put a full effort toward all of these changes, but it's like, oh, let's trot out Dolph Ziggler with a new haircut.
Yeah.
Sure, he'll get over.
And I think Kevin and I didn't even mention their name because I think it's just a dead horse, and it's always a kiss of death for a wrestler, though, when they're called, like, he's called Dolph Ziggler. If all of a sudden he comes out, like, next week and goes, you know, it's my new attitude, I'm just going to use my real name. It's Nick Nemeth.
I know.
And you're just like, what? Now you're starting all the way over? So he's stuck with that name. But, no, I mean, everything you said is exactly right. But one thing, to elaborate on something you said, when they gave him the name, it wasn't relevant when they gave him the name.
No.
It was already seemingly like 10 years ago when that movie came out, when they gave him the name.
Right.
So, you're going on 15 years or whatever from when Boogie Nights came out. So, no, and especially, do you see a poster, like, they don't really put names on posters anymore. So, you could go with a look, of course, but if they did, you're going to put a poster up in a BW3 or a Hooters or something, and it goes WWE. What's a pay-per-view? Extreme Rules. And you'll have, like, the two guys, and one will say Dolph Ziggler. No, I'm sorry, they'll say John Cena. And then the other guy says Dolph Ziggler.
Yeah, Dusty and I talk about this every once in a while. Jim Cornette has what he calls the marquee test, when he's trying to come up with names for guys. And, you know, Stone Cold Steve Austin versus The Undertaker. Stone Cold Steve Austin versus Bret Hitman Hart. Stone Cold Steve Austin versus Doink the Clown?
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't smell right. And, you know, so it's irrelevant, whatever, but, you know, and it goes back to, what if they had debuted Kurt Angle, Olympic gold medalist? You know, he'd won the gold medal 3 years, just only 3 years before he made his debut, and they call him some bullshit like U.S. Jones or fucking Singlet McGee, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's stupid,
yeah.
And you're right. I mean, the only other thing they could do is, like, find a nickname for him and, like, attach the nickname to Dolph Ziggler and then slowly phase out Dolph Ziggler. Like they did Triple H, Hunter Hearst Helmsley just became Triple H.
Yeah.
Or The Rock, Rocky Maivia just became The Rock.
Yeah. Yeah, good call. Yeah, that's got to be good. I don't know. It's such a sticking, and I get lack of a better word, sticking name. I mean, it's impossible to get around. Dolph, okay, I'll give you the Dolph part. It's the M part. It's the last name.
Yeah.
Ugh.
And the
but,
two put together. I mean, Dolph Lundgren is okay.
but what was the other one?
Like
go back
see,
to the market.
I'm sorry, I could see Colt Cabana being something like Zig Ziglar.
Ziggler isn't all bad
in the right context, but Dolph Ziggler together is just fucking dumb.
It's funny, like Stone Cold Steve Austin versus Colt Cabana. That actually doesn't sound bad at all.
Yeah, I'd watch that.
Yeah.
I'd drink to that.
Yeah, well, no, I mean, and not even, I mean, you know, take away the bias or whatever, but even then, I mean, really, and I know it's two different products. One's a sport, one is entertainment. But the UFC guys, they've got, I mean, there's some interesting names in MMA.
Yeah.
I mean, either like Forrest Griffin or Rampage Jackson, you know, something like that. You know, Brock Lesnar, whatever, George St. Pierre, GSP. I mean, they're real names. I mean, I guess they are. I don't follow MMA that close to know, but.
Well, until you get to, like, I don't think Shogun is his real name, but, you know, they got a Shogun.
But
it's
actually Rua. Shogun Rua, that's fucking awesome. I mean,
but
that goes to what you were talking about, adopting a nickname.
Yep.
Well, you can't come up with something cool with Dolph Ironhead, Ironhead Ziggler. It doesn't work. So no, it's the name's going to be the stickler for him, but also to a credit, okay, the look's not bad if he acts the same way, but they even took that away from him.
Well, he can't run his fingers through
his
hair anymore.
Huh?
He can't run his fingers through his hair anymore and flick the sweat out to everybody.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, he could still do that. I mean, he could still do the motion and all that stuff. He could still show emotion.
Yeah.
I mean, when he would win a match, he'd gloat. He won the match, cool, got out of the ring and left. No one wants to see that. I mean, even when Steve Austin was the ringmaster, he did that. No one gave a shit.
Yeah.
I know we keep going back to Steve Austin. I guess it's leading up to Tough Enough, but the stone face, Drew McIntyre. Thank God I remember this guy finally. Look at his work. Look at what got him noticed in the Elimination Chamber.
Yeah.
He was aggressive. He worked outside of that boring ass, hey, I'm a badass. I'm just going to strut to the ring trying to look menacing bullshit.
Right.
What finally stuck out was he was aggressive, he showed emotion, he played to the crowd. The guys just walk into the ring of badasses suck. They don't work.
Nope. Absolutely not.
So,
and yeah, maybe we can work our way into Tough Enough, because if that's the sort of thing they've been taught or are being taught, and that goes back to that John Pieramarini blog, he even said that Vince, like the direction that Vince would give to people is, walk out there, don't smile, and beat people up. That's terrible direction. I mean, he's got to be starting to slow down mentally or something if that's all the better he can do these days. Or, to the Tough Enough point, you know, maybe Vince only should get the final say nowadays based on people being trained properly to have decent promo skills and decent attitude, behavior, characters, whatever. You know, only let him play after that's established. Don't let him make the final decision of walk out there and be boring. So, you know, hopefully Bill DeMott is teaching. I know I understand that when it comes to developmental and stuff like this, you teach people the WWE style. But, God damn, if this is the WWE style, it's shitty.
Well, the WWE style is boring now. It's, I mean, when, all right, and I guess a good way to back my point up is the Triple H Undertaker match, that's considered a classic for WWE now.
Uh-huh.
Well, that's not how the classics used to go. I mean, you used to have athleticism. I mean, they had to, and this is going back to the Attitude Era, because of the Hogan one didn't. But what's the one classic match you remember from the Hogan days?
Hogan versus Ultimate Warrior.
Well, no, what I was going to give was Randy Savage versus Ricky Steamboat.
Oh, sure, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, with all the lumbering, all of a sudden, Steamboat and Savage steal the show with athleticism because
right.
they were able to work outside of the WWE style.
Yep.
I mean, Michaels and Bret Hart, to a certain extent.
Well, even the 2 years before this WrestleMania, Undertaker versus Shawn Michaels, I don't even know that they were working the WWE style that was the style at the time and still is.
Yeah.
And they had
Yeah. But I wonder if also we're just so used to the regular stuff so that when we see something, like maybe that's what made ROH to be so groundbreaking and so noteworthy when it first started, because we're watching WCW and WWE doing the same thing. Well, ECW for that matter too. They were doing something different.
Yeah,
to where it made
Peter's all the way down to guys like Stevie Richards doing the right defense, or I don't know, I'm trying to get the timing right here. What happened in 2002? Kane and Katie Vick and all that bullshit. I'm trying to put context to your ROH point, which is by the time that they started, WWE was the only game in town, and it wasn't very good, and it was slowing down, and it was squatting, and it was a bunch of potentially unemployed wrestlers just plodding their way through wrestling matches. Well, I don't know what you consider WWE style now other than a lot of punching, a lot of kicking, a little bit of mugging for the camera, a lot of blandness. And so you're right. When people see Triple H versus Undertaker, they think it's a classic. They need to recontextualize themselves because what they did is not a classic. Yeah, but considering what WWE style is nowadays, I don't know that. I mean, sure, Matt Cross deserves to be kicked off of Tough Enough. He had no place on that cast in the first place.
Matt Cross was never
going to win Tough Enough. And they knew it all along. I guarantee you they only put him on the cast to shit on indie wrestling fans. And now, you know, now is a time when I pull for people like Skidmark. Because he was able to show that he could cut a decent promo when the pressure was on and get that fucking WAP off the show.
The guy that was purposely trying to be the villain of the show.
Yeah, and
you could tell. Yeah, you could tell that was his agenda the entire time. I'm going to get as much camera time as I can just by acting like an asshole.
Yeah.
It worked.
Kind of like that one bitch that decided she was going to try to hog all the camera time by crying the blues and trying to get sympathy for leaving her kid at home like everybody else on fucking reality TV does. They threw it because they realize that the money's worth it. And she thinks it's going to happen. She thinks going to cry to Steve Austin is going to make such good TV that they'll keep her. And Steve's like, all right, sweetheart, if you want to go, go. I ain't holding you back. Stupid bitch. Go back to your fucking modeling career, you ugly cunt. You fucking hatchet-faced piece of shit. The ugliest fucking model. I know models are ugly for the most part anyway. But what a fucking career. And she tried to learn a lesson from her stupid husband, her fucking squirrely piece of shit husband that tried to work people on a reality show one other time. And now she's going to try to do the same thing, and she got her ass sent packing. I thank God I hated her, and I said, I hate her. She's the worst. And then you're like, well, Eric or whatever. And I'm like, no, I don't even care about Eric. I'm to the point where I hate this stupid bitch, and I'm glad she's gone because somebody needed to slap her across her stupid, ugly mug. And now she's gone, and now we don't have to worry about it. So is Matt Cross.
Yeah,
he deserved to be there. So is that WAP. He's gone. The show's really panning out like I hoped it would. Now I want to see what fucking awkward mustache Buckwheat is going to do. Now I want to see if Ryan's going to step up his game. Now I see Luke is actually, I didn't realize he's kind of an independent wrestler. I want to see if he makes it.
Yeah. Who's, all right, there's another guy with short hair. I think his name's AJ.
AJ, yeah.
I think. Yeah, there's him and then the tall guy, whatever his name is.
The super tall guy or just the tall guy?
He's like the big man for the show.
Buckwheat.
My laptop died after 15 fucking minutes. Are you kidding me?
Buckwheat, right?
So she was
tallest one.
Fuck a dick. Anyways, they don't even focus on the guys. They're making no effort to make themselves known on the show.
Right.
So the one guy I can't start. I couldn't stand that chick last, Michelle, right? That was her name?
Right.
Michelle Denton? Yeah. All right, and this goes back to what Joey Styles was tweeting during the first episode. CM Punk tweeted a little bit about it, too. And I was kind of like, wow, these guys are being kind of harsh on these kids, blah, blah, blah. But that Eric guy, and Joey Styles said this, too. You knew you were going to be on Tough Enough, and you didn't even bother to try and get in shape.
Right, that's shameful.
Yeah. So then he's on the show for I don't know how the scheduling works. I figure they're voting him off once a week like Biggest Loser. It's been 4 weeks, 5 weeks maybe. They didn't cut anybody the first episode, or did they? Yeah, they cut that one bitch the first episode, the one that Alicia Fox was her favorite match. But I mean, like chicks like that, you knew they were there just for show. But when that guy, they said, yeah, you gotta get your wind up. Okay, gotta get your wind up. Okay. And then all of a sudden, Big Show comes in and pulls him aside and goes, hey, you know, your big man gravitated towards, I mean, his little solitary thing. He's like, my eyes immediately gravitated towards him, so I took him aside. He talked to him about getting his wind up, getting into shape. And the guy goes, yeah, as Eric Watts. and he goes, yeah, there was a real eye-opener talking to the Big Show about, you know, I really need to get into. I was like, motherfucker, you've had... How many months you knew you were going to be on the show? How many months or how many weeks have you been there? And now you're talking to the Big Show, and you go, who's a picture of health, apparently. But,
yeah.
I mean, he's a big guy, so that means it's going to be hard for him to stay in shape. But it took that for you to realize, oh, my God, I actually have to work on my cardiovascular? That's retarded. You're an asshole. You deserve to be kidded off or booted off.
Yeah, but that's the lack of self-awareness these people have, which should immediately disqualify them from being on the show anyway. If you're going to be a WWE superstar, you better be pretty goddamn self-aware and see imperfections and see, you know, physical situations you need to better for yourself. And if somebody like Eric Watts with his stupid hair and his little fucking penciled-in teenage mustache with no cardio whatsoever, can't see that about himself, it's going to take a fucking climbing of a mountain by WWE, if he ever were to be on the roster, to get him to a position where he would look like he should actually be on somebody's TV every week. Because right now, he just looks like a stretched-out little kid, and he looks like shit, and he talks like shit, and he wrestles like such drizzling shit. He has no place on this show other than being tall. I mean,
yeah. Well, he made a better showing in the ring this week, at least.
Yeah, you know what? I think he either got suplexed or suplexed somebody, and I cringed. I was like, somebody almost died right there, and I couldn't believe.
Yeah.
Told them all. I was like, ooh, great suplex.
That stuff to me goes along with what they do with Biggest Loser. They just take different shots, sound clips, reactions, all that, and just slice them up. Because I know exactly what you're talking about. There is no way in hell he was talking about that move.
No.
Not a chance. Because I know exactly what you're talking about. They were both slumped over, like arched back. They weren't, you know. I guess I should say this. I enjoyed the show.
Absolutely.
It's gotten a reaction not just because it's wrestling, but the characters are so hateable. Even the people you're kind of, like, supposed to like.
Right.
Like, the guy that got his name back.
Martin or Marvin.
Yeah, Martin. That's it.
Yeah.
You're just kind of like, oh, okay, cool. So, you don't hate him. But then they do a very good job of manipulating you. Like, that Ryan dude, I want to see him fall off a fucking cliff. Well, then, and then they go and set you up. They set you up to think that, so that when it comes down to him versus Michael in a promo battle or whatever, that you're like, oh, finally, they're going to get rid of this guy. And, you know, but they start making you feel a little bit of sympathy for him because they're amping up how Michael treats him and all that.
Right.
So then when he just destroys Michael,
which he did,
in a promo, you're like, holy shit, that was awesome. And then you're like, ah, oh, they got you. They got you with good TV there.
Yep, that's right. Yeah, that's a really good show. It's well done. And I missed episode 2, but I thought episode 3 was way better than the first one. I think I said this somewhere or other. I thought the first one was really, really overproduced. Like, Steve Austin comes riding into the room on a motorcycle down this lighted tunnel like he's coming from heaven. And
yeah, well,
some of the other shit they did that's like a little too overdone, like not even reality TV cliche, but like practically parody overdone cliche for reality TV. I feel like they toned that down for this latest episode. And the more they get into actual reality, I think the better off the show is going to be. I feel bad that the ratings have dropped off every week, but that happens with basically every show like this, especially wrestling shows, like Superstars dropped off big time, NXT dropped off huge, this one did too. But the show's going to get better. I really do think so.
Yeah. I don't think they need to tweak anything. I think they found the right balance with all the different personalities. Austin comes off as incredibly likable.
Yes,
for a gruff guy, a guy who's made his career on being the badass or whatever, you know, Stone Cold, go with that. He comes off, and I know you're going to hate it, but it was manipulative TV where he's like, you know, my daughter, I had 2 daughters, and I'm just now getting to know him.
Yeah.
So it really humanized him, and it was really kind of awkward at first because you're like, he's just going to rip this bitch in half.
Right.
And then he goes, yeah, well, you know, I got kids, and it's like, oh, well, all right. And then the other guy, and I know he was on the other shows, but Bill DeMott's been really funny in this.
Yeah, he's very funny, yeah. Trish doesn't have much of a personality. Booker T, I think, only actually said 3 lines in this last episode. But this
I don't
show
think
is
he's
great,
there very often.
Yeah, maybe not. This show is a great platform for Stone Cold Steve Austin. And it's been a star-making show for Bill DeMott.
Yeah. And that doesn't mean I want to see Bill DeMott in a wrestling ring.
Hell no.
But I would love to see him. I hate to say it, but what about a commentator? Put him on color instead of Booker T, because that thing's not getting any better.
He could definitely do that. He's got a good voice and good delivery for it, which is very important. Booker T has horrible delivery. He's so mush-mouth. Bill DeMott is very articulate and well-spoken.
Mm-hmm. never mind. I've got an astronomy joke I want to use.
I'll say it. Some of these jokes we need to keep inside jokes.
Oh, yes, I know. You already told me. But I guess, to me, that's the part I enjoy the most, because these kids are douchebags, and I guess it's because I'm way older than them. They're all douches. The blonde chick, you don't really see much from her. It's, like, impossible to hate her. But I don't really like anybody on that show.
Yeah, I guess I really don't either, and maybe it's only going to be episode by episode. Like, I liked Ryan for about 5 minutes.
And saying that, it's still a fun episode. I mean, it's still a good show to watch. It's weird. I don't really like the reality ones. I watch Biggest Loser because she watches it, and I just sort of do with her. But,
yeah,
I don't know. So, I'm sure there's more we want to talk about.
At least there you kind of cheer on the same people week after week. You know, it's
like
one of
them. Biggest Loser?
Yeah.
Oh, no, I turned on those motherfuckers.
Maybe you don't, yeah. But that's the point of the show.
Whiny,
you know, pick your favorite.
Bastard.
I don't know. But again, it's entertaining TV. I feel bad that the ratings are dropping. If you don't, I mean, there are 1,000 replays of it too that probably aren't being added up. Plus, you know, honestly,
right.
I watch it on YouTube. I watched it today on YouTube in its entirety. So, but whatever. Anyway, it's a fun show. Watch it. It's worth it. Even if none of these kids ever pan out to anything, it's still a good show to watch. And I'm glad it's back.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right.
All
well,
right.
I think that's enough. We gave
them
enough.
It's supper time in the central time zone.
Yeah, it's supper time here because she's done cooking. So.
All right.
I didn't even. That wasn't even supposed to be a joke. She made dinner today. So. All right. So I'm gonna check out, and we'll get you next time, I guess.
Yeah, that's right. For Jeremy Mays, for the rest of the Stunt Granny crew. For galaxies and constellations everywhere, this is Eric Nelson saying so long, and we'll try to do better next time.